Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Let's go!
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Bingetown TV and our anime coverage. So this is...
Double duty.
Jujutsu Kaisen, not Yu Yu Hakusho. Yu Yu Juju. And if you are a loyal fan, if you are a loyal fan watching on YouTube, you'll notice, yes, these are the same clothes from the Yu Yu Hakusho recording that we just did. Because these are back-to-back, and we love you guys, and we love the shows, and we're pumping the content out. Holiday season.
We're like a sweatshop. You better fucking subscribe to the motherfucking Patreon, or else we're gonna kill you.
Yeah, the best Christmas present you can give us is subscribing.
Your money,
liking. Money is also obviously nice, but we're not gonna ask for money.
Give us your money.
We could also ask that you maybe, you know, throw a little elbow into your cousin or maybe your aunt, elbow her ass and be like, hey, you should start listening to Bingetown TV. And yeah, also that's a good Christmas present for her because it'll change her life because we're good at this. Okay, so this is Jujutsu Kaisen episodes 21 and 22. I believe this is what, Metamorphosis part 2 and 3?
I think it's 1 and 2, honestly.
1 and 2? Okay, yeah. It's okay. I'm the host. Okay, cool. So obviously we will take the first episode, episode 21 first, because that is the conclusion of the, pretty much the conclusion of the Mahito stuff, which we've been kind of begging for. So I think we save the ending itself, because I think we want to talk about that like on its own without all the
ending of their fight, you mean?
Yeah, or, well, the ending of this episode of like the Yuji versus Mahito and Mahito being degraded as a human being. I think we want to talk about that on its own because there's some takes I'm sure we want to fire off. So I just think that we take the actual fighting all at once. Just some highlights we're going to get to. Obviously, Mahito's 0.2 second domain expansion. We have Toto's imaginary domain expansion or whatever the hell that was. We have the loss of, unfortunately, we have Mahito's transformation and then the final Black Flash. So we're not going to go through literally every punch that gets thrown, but there's a lot of good moments that happen throughout this episode. So
I just fucking hate Mahito so fucking much. I mean, it's just all he really, it's, and it, the other thing I'm just going to repeatedly say again, besides Mahito sucks, great as a villain, just I hate him, obviously, yeah, for obvious reasons, but just every episode, I feel like I come out of it, I'm just like, oh, that was better than the last one. That was better than the last one.
And it's
just,
bro, it's fight, no yeah, skips, all bangers.
Yeah,
dude,
the fight, yeah. I really,
yeah, I know bangers.
I really love the fight here. I mean, the drawings of like Mahito's abilities, just full display here when the city is like basically covered in,
yeah,
the
goo. Like the,
yeah, just whatever. There's eyeballs and mouths just everywhere. And the animation, it looked good here. I mean, it kind of fit, yep, like the way Mahito is kind of saying at Yuji, like, oh, we're going to curse each other forever. And just like is twisted in his head. But Toto's just Mr. Calm, Cool, Collected, Mr. Autism at its finest. It's just
he's
like
fucking the man, dude. You know, so what's so funny is something I've noticed, and it's easily been something I just, it's gone over my head. But this episode especially, I feel like the animation looks so much like the drawings from the manga, like Gege's actual drawing style with like just like the line work and everything. I don't know, I just thought it looked good. I think some people can be like, oh, it looks incomplete, but I feel like that's literally how it looks in the manga.
It's true. I thought the same. You know, where it was evident to me when Yuji was having his monologue to Mahito, like I thought he looked like the Yuji,
yeah,
that I know from,
yeah,
the
like
manga,
straight out of it. Yeah, yeah, for sure. One of the most successful things to me this episode, and it's kind of small and it doesn't really matter, but when Mahito pops his own head off and then he gets like the snail eyes. But when the head itself grows the arms and the legs and it's just running around like Mike Wazowski, I thought that was so funny. That was great.
The running was just so cartoony of like Mahito's head just being all short-legged. And
it is funny, dude, when Toto's fighting and his fucking locket falls and Mahito's like, and
it's the chicken, his brother.
It's so like,
what
good.
The fuck?
It's so good.
And he, it's like in the top left, Toto's imagination. And he's like, he's like laying shit out with the girl behind him. Like,
great memes of just like the Toto entrance of him just like gliding in space. It's just so funny.
Dude, the music too. The music's perfect. They hit the pose together. It's just it's like, he's the best character. He's my favorite character.
Dude, Mahito really. His power is just so cool to watch. I mean, like you said, Kyle, the way he just like decapitates his own head and then that just immediately creates two bodies. And then not only can he like duplicate himself, he can just like basically create curses. I know we can already like soul manipulate people to make them become curses, but he can just kind of generate curses out of like strong level curses out of nowhere. It's just
no, he needs a soul to do that.
He still needs the soul, but it's like a high level one. The amalgamation.
Yeah, Toto compliments how strong they were.
Dude, yeah, I was watching. I'm like, how many motherfucking souls does this douche have?
Yeah, and then,
By the end, I'm like, finally, dude, like about time.
Yeah,
because he's just like, I mean, he had so many. This fight was what, 3, 4, 5 episodes? Like,
I don't remember.
Before that, I don't know. He's got so many.
Yeah, when he first starts fighting Yuji.
Yeah, it's pretty.
I mean, the fight was just so cool.
I think it's definitely worth. Watching the start of their fight to now, like watching all the episodes back to back to back, it's probably very it's just so entertaining. You don't have to wait.
Yeah, it's probably a nice flow too.
Yeah,
it's also, I mean, great part. Obviously, we don't like Mahito, but we like Mahito, as Dave also kind of just mentioned earlier. But the fact that he earns the 0.2 second domain expansion from Gojo, and I know we just talked about Yusuke. And him like seeing the kick once and then learning the kick. Like, it's just cool when that happens. Mm-hmm. And this obviously is much more devastating than the kick that Yusuke throws. I mean, he has the conversation with Sukuna and he's like, I mean, I'm going to kill him before you even know what's going on. Unfortunately, our boy Toto loses his hand. I'm always fascinated when I feel like in World War Z, this is like the prime example of it. When that chick gets bit and Brad Pitt just like immediately cuts her hand off.
Yeah,
and Toto just no hesitation, no thought, just cuts his own hand off. Like, I would like definitely hesitate, be like, I don't know if I want to.
I would have done the same thing. I thought the same thing.
The narrator, but he just whips it right off.
The narrator here was again clutch. Like, this really reminded me of Hunter x Hunter. Like, when they first land in Hunter x Hunter, or when they're
Reed Island,
when they're
on the stairwell.
Yeah, when they're invading the Chimera ant hive and like they're on the stairwell and basically the dragon falls on everyone and the narrator saying like, oh, no one reacted, but gone in this moment. Like, it was kind of cool here. It was like the narrator, I'm pretty sure, is like Toto immediately moved to protect himself from the domain. Meanwhile, Yuji's already headed directly for Mahito. Like, he already was like two steps ahead of everyone else around him. It was just breakdown
was faster.
Really cool. Yeah. I figured the unleashing of the domain expansion was faster, but I mean, kudos for Toto just knowing right away that his arm was infected and that he had to just cut that shit clean off in the moment.
Crazy.
We're not even 100% sure if like Toto still can even use his power or not. I mean, that's kind of jumping the gun, because I think that's the next episode we see him at least attempt to use it. But
no, that's here.
Is it this episode that he hand?
He claps Mahito's hand here and switches with Yuji, which is like that black flash that kind of puts Mahito technically on the back foot, but also kind of prompts him to do his transformation. He finally can grasp the true nature of his soul. He transforms into the instant spirit body of distorted killing. Mm-hmm. A lot of words for a name. I think if he had more time, he probably would have workshopped that down to just maybe a couple names. But and then him and Yuji just proceed to throw hands. But the end of that, the conclusion of that fight is Toto on the brim of the crater that Mahito created with Yuji's face into the rock floor. But he makes me wince and like almost like get queasy that he just claps his stub into his hand, but it doesn't do anything.
Yeah. So I just wonder if, because he is talking. I mean, Netero says the same shit. And again, Hunter x Hunter, when he's like, you don't need to pray with one hand. You can pray with no hands, one hand, you know. But that's Toto claps and he doesn't switch. So it's like,
well, he did say that my boogie woogie's dead.
Yeah, that's what. But like, I guess he was like leading on like a fake rant there for Mahito. He's like, oh, you know, like it. I only need one hand to clap, and he doesn't. And Mahito's like, all right, I'm ready to teleport. And he doesn't get teleported. And then afterwards, Toto's like, yeah,
Cookson.
But that was a great feint right there.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Dude, Toto's that was sick. I was reliving my moment yeah. as reading, and I was like, oh, like when I read that shit, and he fucking ripped him with the Black Flash. Oh, dude. And they're just fucking throwing Black Flashes around like it's nothing
yeah,
nowadays.
Yeah.
And that's insane.
Mahito literally says it here. Like, technically speaking, no sorcerer can consciously just unleash a Black Flash, but this guy feels like he can. He literally runs away from him, basically, which is pretty funny.
When Toto claps Mahito and he has like the burns on his good hands, is that just, I guess, because he touched Mahito in such a quick moment that was the damage that it did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. From his idol transfiguration.
If he held it there longer, it would have been what actually happened to his other hand, basically.
Okay.
The hand, the one that got, he got hit in the domain, right? That's why it got cut off. They didn't show it. Like, they didn't show him touching.
I think, the domain kind of sets off and it's like the trippy background around Toto. And then his arm just immediately starts like bubbling up.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's just domain expansion is just so broken. The fact that you just stand in it, just transfigured immediately.
Yeah, it's tough. It also, I mean, it looks sick too. I love all the hand signs.
All of them have been really cool, to be honest. Yeah. I mean, Jogo's was a little like basic and pretty much elementary for his like power. It just fits well, but for the most part, like Gojo's, like they're all real trippy.
Gojo's was cool as fuck. Yeah, yeah. I was angry when I read this initially, just because Toto's my favorite character. So I was like, what do you fucking mean your boogie woogie's dead, bro? Like, is he just gone now from the story? Like, what the fuck? I was pissed. But I mean,
Rock Lee. It's the Rock Lee. You'll never be a ninja again.
He's the OG homie. He's just the best friendo you could ever have. He just obviously usually deals the Black Flash blow, but I mean, Toto's support was just undeniably so important. Mahito early in the fight tries to separate him, and Toto gets offended. He goes, what the fuck, man? Like, you don't want to play with me? I would not want to play with him either.
The Toto imagination.
He's such a boss.
The Toto imagination, I've just never seen anything like that.
He's so funny, dude.
It's so good.
A lot of funny moments in these two episodes. For next episode, there's a couple that I want to point out, and it's more delusion, and I think it's hilarious.
All right, so to get us there is going to be the results of the boogie woogie feint into the Black Flash. Is that Mahito has kind of lost that transformation that he has. He's now almost reverted back to maybe factory settings, as the kids might say, where he's kind of whimpering like a child. It's us remembering, I think, maybe at this point that he's really like technically like a young adult, maybe like a teenager. And Yuji just walking that man down. I love the visual of them in the forest and Mahito running, you know, like a rabbit. Yuji's like the pack of the wolves. I'm just, Dave, obviously we've been kind of crying out for this, you specifically as well, obviously, because Alki and I know it's coming, but how did it feel to watch him like whimper and be like so pathetic?
My note is just give me every moment of this. I was so happy seeing the groveling and the fucking crying and just the bitching. I will say though, Mahito's instant spirit body, whatever, of distorted killing was so sick. Yeah. So cool looking.
I like how he actually used the blades on his arm. Like, they weren't there for aesthetics. Yeah.
And like, he's like pointing them at Yuji and they can extend and shit. Like, that was, that form was really fucking
I'm
cool,
glad that we actually brought his final form up. It's like fucking gnarly as shit. He looks like he looks like those high grade curse demons that curse spirits that we saw, like Yuji's first
one, honestly.
Yeah, like the first one, exactly. Yeah. But it's like on roids.
Yeah. Like perfect cell. Yeah.
And it reminds you that he is a cursed spirit.
Yes.
I mean, it's obviously we know that, but he is most humanoid like amongst compared to all of the Geto's cronies. Yeah. Like, he's definitely the most human looking. He even says it like, I was born from humans or whatever.
Yeah.
It was a nice final form, but it was a little short lived. I don't remember how many chapters it encompassed while reading. Either way, it's probably like,
yeah.
I mean, it was awesome. It was his It was his final. It was his what the fuck am I looking for? It was his last push. Yeah. Like,
yeah. His final efforts.
Yeah. His final effort. Yeah. So whatever.
I couldn't surpass the boy Toto. Toto and Yuji. OG tag team.
The other comment I have here is I saw something that paralleled pretty cool that when, you know, Sukuna finished off Jogo, it was like a fiery based scene in the imagination or whatever, when he's like kind of like saying like, you're strong, like don't worry about it, you're strong. That was all like a fire based fight. Now Yuji, and I honestly, I also have a note here saying like, Yuji, this is the most like Sukuna we've ever seen UGB, not only in looks but also kind of just no hesitation for wanting to just completely kill Mahito here. And so we get the wintery scene of the bunny rabbits and the wolves and shit. Yeah, so I thought that was a cool play on like both Sukuna's view, I guess, maybe not view, but I don't really know how to describe it, just the parallels here between how Jogo was fire related. Mahito seems to have this ice environment where it's Sukuna and Yuji. So just really cool.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing specifically that would point me to correlate Yuji and ice and stuff, but that parallel there is definitely very interesting. I mean, he finally admits it, which I know we've talked about it too, and we kind of like low-key agreed with Mahito, but it's like, obviously Yuji's not Mahito in the sense that Mahito's like insane type of deal. But he literally says like, I'm most likely just kind of playing a part. I'm a cog in the wheel, but I'll play the shit out of that part. If it's just killing curses, like I want to kill you. I can't wait until you're back in the world. I want to live to be old and kill you again. Yeah. Like I want it all. Basically, I want every piece of smoke you ever would ever have for the rest of all your lives. I'll be right there.
That was just, it was felt Sukuna-esque to me, to be honest.
Well, you know, did you guys talk, the freaking shadow, his menacing like aura growing in front of Mahito. Like that was pretty. That's why I love Jujutsu Kaisen, dude.
I'm pretty sure even too at some point during the fight, like he adjusts his hair, Yuji does, and it makes him like, to me, it presents him more like Sukuna.
It was in the second episode, I believe.
Yeah. Okay. Either way, it's just,
I would like to go back and look at that. Yeah,
he is cool. All the characters. I think what makes Jujutsu Kaisen so fun is like, we see it with the brother sister combo. Like you don't really, their intentions are not always like clear. You know what I'm saying? Like Kusakabe is like, Yuji, Sukuna did this. Like I thought Yuji had control. Like I'm gonna root for his execution. It's like fuck, bro.
That was wild.
Like dude, like fuck.
That was just like something that we hadn't discussed like at all since season one. The fact that Yuji is basically still on trial, and the fact that Gojo is now sealed, his one person of. That was kind of vouching for him, and the most important person you can have vouching for you is no
longer gone. Yeah, right.
I just that was a great start to the second episode, which we'll get into here.
I was just saying, like the characters, and they're gritty as hell. And I was talking about the brother sister, like where she's like, sell all your accounts, do this and that. Like, thanks for working with you. Like, who the fuck are you working with, bitch? Yeah. Like, what the fuck was that about? You know, it's like, what's going on? There is a lot of individual motive. Yeah.
I mean, even here at the end, like the last scene of episode 21, where like we know Geto and Mahito are like technically kind of working together, and it's not like he's saying like, I'll save you. It's like, should I save you?
Right. And then he fucking consumes him.
Yeah, exactly. So it's dude, like,
I that was the ending to this episode.
Dog eat dog world, you know.
The ending was obviously made me upset because it's like, fuck, Mahito's gonna live, but you're absolutely right. Like he doesn't say, I'm gonna save you. It's like, do you want me to save you? And it's just a rhetorical question.
And it was gonna be a no anyway, but he wants him to fucking say it. Yeah.
I just wonder, I guess he's just playing it out perfectly. I mean, Mahito, I'm guessing he just viewed as he did everything that he could for his as a pawn, and now it's just like, fuck it, let's add the ability to our arsenal. So if we want to lead us into episode two, Kyle.
Yeah. So this is episode 22, the second episode that we're going to talk about. I was just going to lead it off, honestly, by just saying like we get three quick scenes at the top we can briefly touch on. I think we touched on two of the three there. I mean, the Kusakabe and Panda. Just funny that he was clearly hiding underneath that rock.
Yeah.
And it's like, I found you. Like, I saved you or whatever. And he goes, oh, yeah, whatever. the scene in Malaysia, I think at this point, the less said about that, the better. I think I'll get covered what it's actually important in the other part.
I'm surprised they didn't fucking edit that at all.
The only thing I will say
is that
I've never seen like a, it seems like such a real world reaction to it. Like when she's like, sell all my stocks and stuff. Cause you'd think like, think about like My Hero or like One Punch Man. Like if you knew that like the city had gotten blown the hell up, like ahead of time before the news got out, like, yeah, you'd be like, okay, sell all of my shit there. Like that feels like
people in the world would, be doing that.
Yeah. It feels like a very real, I just never seen that in an anime. It's just funny to think about.
How did you know they were in Malaysia? She said we're in KL.
It's, well, it did say it. And like the top, it said, I'm going to butcher the pronunciation of it. What? Kaluau Lumpur.
Oh, it's like a city. Okay. So KL. I believe it's the capital. Okay. So I just must have missed that blurb.
Yeah. It just popped up.
It's very improper. That's what we're going to say about that. Let's keep going.
Yeah, I just, we'll move on.
That's just,
yeah.
Why
people get fucking turned off.
It's worse because I think this is, off the top of my head, the only time like JJK ever gets like that uncomfortable.
Yeah, I've watched thousands of anime, and even watching this scene, I was like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
It's, like, I've seen so many weird scenes, and this one was definitely up there.
Maybe it's like gag because... Like when Toto's like with his celebrity and he's like obsessed with her, that's like clearly a gag and they make make it funny, but this is
like brother sister, like huge age difference, like where
did, it's just weird. What is,
yeah. Let's just edit it's all just this
weird.
Shit out.
No. Yeah, okay. It's just weird. Good content. The third little scene is just Choso is still kind of reeling from him kind of having these memories of Yuji and his younger brothers. That obviously plays a part in what we'll talk about next. This is an interesting part of this episode, all of like the actual juicy shit we want to talk about. I think that we kind of talk about everything. It's kind of tough. So like we have this conclusion of Mahito. It's just kind of quick thoughts on Pseudo Ghetto's techniques. He, you know, obviously consumes Mahito here, puts Yuji in a little bit of a genjutsu. Mm-hmm. Didn't really know what was going on, but we know obviously Ghetto's in control of everything that's going on at this point. I just want to call out, and Aoki mentioned it too, that Mahito says that like he kind of knew all along that like Ghetto was going to do this and be like this because, you know, Ghetto at some point was a human. They think at this point that Kamo Nuratoshi, human, you know, so and Mahito's like, I was, you know, born from humans type of deal. So that was like a little nice little last.
That's
word,
so that's
basically
what he meant. He said, like, I knew this was gonna happen. I was born from them after all, basically, yeah. Like saying, like, I didn't trust you from the beginning, kind of thing.
That's the way I took it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. There were a lot of more cryptic shit that of cryptic shit that Ghetto said, like in this monologue where he's like, what did he say? He was like,
well, then he moves
in
on.
Your fight.
He talks about the beginning. He brings up the catfish, which
yeah, like he's like talking all fucking weird and then,
definitely in riddles. I don't even fucking
know. Yeah, I know what I know how all this comes to a head. Eventually, I'm trying to piece together as somebody who knows the story to like see what he's insinuating, and it is still very cryptic.
Like,
I think
even when he like does the centipede attack, it's just like he's talking about like if the forces weren't divided.
He was talking about when Ghetto was Ghetto, like a year ago when they had the Night of a Thousand Beasts or whatever it ended up being, like the original like the terrorist attack that real Ghetto did.
Who would be saying would have won then? Is he saying
saying Ghetto would have won? He wouldn't have like died. Essentially, if he didn't split his forces up between the two locations, like if he had his force in one place a whole time, then he wouldn't have been defeated. Basically,
because then he said, he wouldn't have lost to Okkotsu.
Yeah,
which is
Yuta. And I'm like, who the fuck is Okkotsu? And I'm second.
That also threw me off for a second.
They always switch between the first and last names, and you have to be on top of the story.
Kuwabara seems to actually refer to people only by their last name because he calls Urameshi Keiko by her last name.
Right, mm-hmm. You're right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah.
Tune in, dude. Yeah, tune in, guys.
Yeah, yeah. Check out our Yu Yu Hakusho coverage. If you haven't been, and you've been hesitant because it's live action of watching the show itself, do not hesitate to fucking, at the very least, go and enjoy the fight choreography because it's fucking fantastic.
Yep.
Speaking of fight choreography and fighting, this is where we kind of actually move into Ghetto actually fighting here. He begins his curse technique explanation, which we know makes things stronger if you explain your curse technique, which is one of my favorite parts of Jujutsu Kaisen. For longtime listeners, you know that. And then at this point, too, the Kyoto school finally enters the fray. We just get introduced to like an actual explanation of like what maximum techniques are. So that's like, think of like Gojo's Hollow Purple is a maximum technique. It's like literally the limit of your curse technique. It's like the ultimate attack. Jogo, when he does that meteor, I believe that's a maximum technique. And then Geto explains here that the curse manipulation maximum is this Uzumaki, which is combining all of the spirits that he has into like one spirit and like for like a powerful explosion of an attack. I think we should talk about like that concept.
And he then called it a cursed art, like, right? Cursed art or something.
Supreme.
That might have been down
supreme
to the subtitles. Right? Mine might have been different.
It was the supreme art of cursed spirit manipulation. Is
supreme
Uzumaki.
Art, right? Yeah.
Why,
Kyle? You don't watch Crunchyroll?
No, sir.
What do you pirate it, bro?
I'm not gonna say yes or no to that question. But I don't watch on Crunchyroll.
Yeah, this was a little bit confusing for me, but this is just kind of like the nature of like JJK powers, and like this is how I kind of felt at the beginning when domains were kind of first introduced. I guess I kind of get it. The only thing is does he now lose, like, does he lose Mahito's ability, I guess?
Yeah, that seemed like it seemed like he used it up for sure.
Okay, so like he won't be able to. His power is he consumes not the essentially the powers of the demon, like it's just the demon himself, and then he can like kind of call upon them. I honestly am kind of blanking now on what Geto's ability is. Mm-hmm.
He exercises it, and then he consumes their soul,
and he can summon them. Right?
Is it? Oh,
yeah. He like stores it.
So technically, if he didn't use this Uzumaki right here, could he have just brought back Mahito?
Yes,
I guess is what I'm asking.
Theoretically,
obviously, it wouldn't be like Mahito free will. It would be Mahito puppet to Geto.
Yeah,
that's my understanding at the very least.
So he uses Uzumaki. So he just.
He just spent
all of his whole ammunition, basically.
I think it was just Mahito.
And it was,
oh, really? Then how is it Uzumaki then?
Because I think he's saying that like Mahito was so strong in himself that
he had enough stuff.
But the other part of it is that's like kind of tough to understand is because I get what he's saying too. He's like, I never recognized this power as like efficient because. Why not just have the army of people rather than just like
the diversity? Caught.
But then he proceeds to do it anyway.
Speaking about Geto, right? He's saying like, why? Yes. Like he's like talking about
his own power. His own power, right? Not that strong.
Yeah.
But like he does still anyway choose to use it here.
What seems to be that like initial, like if you did a bunch of like low grade ones, it would just be like a general like explosion of cursed energy. Which itself obviously is very one note, but if you do it with semi grade one or hires, like you can actually use their curse techniques.
Okay.
Doing it. So like it takes away the loss of the diversity of the curse techniques where you can literally get both into one.
Okay.
Is the way I interpreted it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I looked it up. Essentially the way it works is like you have your curse technique, which is like etched onto your soul. So like Gojo has limitless, like his curse technique. And then you have like extension techniques, which is basically how you use that. So Gojo has like the blue and the red. Mm-hmm. And then you have the maximum, which is like literally like the pinnacle of like how that technique you can use the technique plus your curse energy and like the manipulation of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the Hollow Purple is like as high as it gets for Gojo's limitless. Yeah.
Okay. So I think I also read something too, where it's like even Gojo's strongest red doesn't even like come close to the weakest of purple, I think is something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because an enhanced technique is just on just such a lower tier than a maximum one. And I mean fucking it's so funny that like we have the Kyoto schools attacking and like, you know, we have Kamo's arrows and we have my sniper and it's fucking Miwa has this like really long monologue and it's like we get the shots of the destroyed Shibuya and she's looking badass and she's like new shadow style quick draw and just immediately flops and she just gets hit with fucking cursed spirit manipulation maximum Uzumaki right to the dome. It's just like so funny to me.
It was so weird because it's just like back when I was captain of the basketball team, it's like, okay, who the fuck are we talking about right now? And it's like, okay,
it's like they set her up for failure to just be like a joke in the community.
Yeah, because it was just like, okay, I see where we're going with this. This is the girl that whoever Mekamaru likes.
Yeah, Mekamaru, yeah.
And it's like, okay, here's her. Finally, we're going to get our fucking moment of like the culmination of her love and everything here to not be useless. And she just gets manhandled by
she
Geno.
Gets smoked by like the strongest technique.
Yeah. She is definitely so becoming a joke. She looked really cool. Yeah. I mean, the quick draw aspect looked really sick, but Geto is fucking Geto. Yeah. And just
Udahime. She never stood a chance, guys.
No,
come
of
on.
Course not. Well, she says, like, I'll do it even if I can never wield a sword again. Like, I want to be useful, basically. And then it's just like Geto just hits her with his OG ultimate attack.
Yeah,
it's
but like Sukabi fucking defended them and brought them back, which I thought was pretty sick.
And Udahime.
New respects for Kusakabe, definitely, because obviously we've never really seen his power. He's always been one to avoid confrontation when necessary. But here, like, the look on his face of he wasn't sweating at all, really. He just kind of he was doing his job, and I thought she was fucking toast, and definitely not.
No. And that brings us, I think, very smoothly into phase two here, I would say, of this fight. Essentially, Choso now has joined the fray.
Boss.
Yuji's kind of getting up. Panda's now involved. Kusakabe, all these people are now involved. So the top of this, the topic to really talk about at the start of this, and then we can devolve into talking about fisticuffs, is Choso introducing the concept of his parents, and then we get the reveal of who's inside Geto. I know, Dave, we talked about it a little bit last night, but just how are we feeling?
This episode was just like a mind fuck from the beginning, because we're obviously getting Geto absorbing Mahito, so I'm just like, okay, well, holy fuck, didn't really see that coming at all, even though I kind of probably should have. And he's talking about his fucking blowing up fucking universes with his fucking Uzumaki, and then all of a sudden it's like we get one name drop and everyone freaks the fuck out, and that was a very great and satisfying moment for me, because I obviously have no idea what the fuck who the fuck is controlling Geto. I've known it's been a puppet kind of guy, and I just have always been kind of worried that Geto wasn't going to be that strong, obviously, because we had seen in the past that like him and Gojo were quote unquote rivals, but like Gojo being the strongest, it's like, how does Geto even make a mark on this guy?
Yeah.
But this kind of boosts him to that level of huge problem. I mean, now we're getting the 150 years. He's been around for 150 years. Yeah. Not only does he have all that experience, but he does actually also control Geto's ability as well. Just a lot to take in. So, I mean, this guy already feels like he's going to be strong as fuck. And then not only is he strong as fuck, he just has a broken ability, which he clearly knows how to use to its fullest potential. This is the kind of boost that I wanted from the villain of Geto, because, again, I was worried that he wasn't going to be all that strong, just more of a knowledge-based character. Not the case at all. He catches the fucking quick draw blade, and he obviously makes slight work. Like, he's just toying around with Choso, basically, like,
Choso really displays some strength, though, man. Like, I didn't realize he's capable. I guess I did, but like when you're watching it unfold versus reading it, it's so much more explicit. And his
sound,
like
the sound helps so much.
And his like ability to like alter the environment. I mean, that's fucking crazy, right? We saw it a little bit in Yuji's fight where he like cut the ceilings open to fucking bring down debris. And he like lifted that big cylinder out of the ground.
Yeah, that was sick. Yeah, like, and then he blows it up.
Did you notice, Dave, did you notice anything about, were there any similarities between Geto and his old body, his old person?
Yeah, I mean, the forehead mark, right?
Okay, was, you're observing, that's all. That I just wanted to make, thing. I just, that's a...
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea. I mean, we know... The brain has a face, right? Is that when he fucking lifts?
We saw it had like a mouth.
Okay, that's what it did.
Right, Kyle?
Yeah, I'm not sure if there were eyes there. I don't think there were.
But yeah, so I mean, like, not only am I like processing this guy that's been around for 150 years, who is like apparently infamous in the community.
He seems to be part of that clan.
Yashi, yeah.
Kamo
Noriyashi.
Noritoshi.
So we're getting that. And then also Chozo's talking about like my mom was a human.
Yeah.
My dad was a cursed spirit. And then the one who toyed with my family the whole time was this fucking guy. And it's just like, this is so many dumps at once. I'm just like
the most evil sorcerer in history.
I haven't even had a chance to really even process it all. I just, the most evil sorcerer in history. Like I'm fucking hyped. Like this was, again, just my favorite, one of the favorite episodes that I've seen so far. I just, so much information, man.
Yeah. And a lot of so much information and good stuff. And then just, they really did a good job, I think, of just showing us the gap, the gulf of what we're up against here. I mean, we have, again, obviously we're seeing how strong Geto / Kamo Noritoshi is. He's kind of just like waving Choso away, kind of. He's kind of not really trying so hard in the fight. And then we have, I believe her name is Rame, is the short-haired girl with the ice power. And she freezes everybody. And even Kusakabe's like, dude, these curse techniques are almost like a different level than where we're at. He's like, I want to go home.
Moment.
Like,
funniest fucking moment. Fuck? It's like, reverse cursing. You fucking said it, pussy. I wanted to fucking say it.
Okay. Well, I'm just kidding. It's just like, yeah, they did a great job. I mean, I don't remember what her name is, the girl that rides the broom, but she like does the wind sight that he just kind of smacks it away. It's just like, oh my God, they're just so cooked right now.
I mean, the
fight, how do you keep cranking it up? It's literally unbelievable.
Yeah, I love the aspect of the ice girl being able, not only were they frozen, but they knew that they were frozen to the point that they couldn't move their muscles, because if they did, their bodies could just shatter, which is a nice touch to it, because, you know, a lot of times in animes, characters can get frozen. They're just like, they flex some muscles and they're just like out of it. But like here, there was actual implications if you tried to just like break out of it.
Except for Yuji.
Yeah, except for Yuji.
Because she says, whose body do you think that is? Or something like that, talking to him.
So it's just cool. Another cool power. I mean, probably the most basic one we've seen so far, but like ice is always just like really cool anyway. But I just, and the fact that Chozo was looked down on by this person, saying like there was implying that there was a huge gap between them, you know, really raised perked my ears a little bit, just wondering where in the world does this person rank in terms of strength. But Chozo does do some damage with the hyper fixated whatever you call
piercing
it,
blood.
Yeah,
the sound of the blood moving was really cool.
Great fight. It's just the Kamo Noritoshi thing is just throwing me off, because it is the exact same name as the other guy, right?
Yeah. I think that's kind of like a gag thing, but
I think it's got it. Yeah, I was gonna say, my only like tinfoil hat prediction that I think is obviously, I don't think it's true at all, but I was just like, maybe this guy just gets so strong in the present, like just somehow is able to travel back in time. But I just don't think that's the case, because I'm looking at the picture of like this quick glance we get of the guy.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't really look like the one we know. So
I think it low key, and again, I could be way off, but it's kind of like almost a gag that's done so that we can finally see him open his eyes, the young one that we know, because he like opens his eyes.
It's like shocked.
Yeah, they're all shocked, and he like opens his eyes, which I thought was just kind of funny.
Chozo's power is he's so cool, man. I'm just so surprised that I would have went like that. I'm just in love with this character, who I thought was probably just going to be a nobody, and the way he uses his power is really cool too, when he jumps off the pillar or whatever, and his he lands on the blood with his feet and then shoots back up. It's
sick.
Dude, it's so good.
And it impressed the, what's his name? Nishinora? Kamo.
Kamo guy.
Yeah. Kamo guy who was like, so much pressure or whatever. Because his bullet was like fucking, even the ice bitch was like she was caught off guard. I love when Yuji squares up next to him. He's like, we're allies, right? He's like, no. I'm your older brother.
And also before that, Panda's like, this guy is also calling you his brother. Toto is doing that. Like, what's going on?
Some pheromones.
Pheromones. Yeah, that was so funny.
He's like, I gotta ask. Like, that's not actually your brother, right?
They do a good job of like just adding in those light moments. Yeah. Sometimes it just keeps you
really with
a smile on your face.
Yeah, I mean, he was fucking cracking me up, because he's getting the shit kicked out of him, and the 150-year-old Kamo is just like, aren't you exhausted? And he's like, is that any reason for me to not risk my life for my younger brother?
It's like Toto level
complete delusion.
And again, we get at the beginning, earlier in the episode, you know, we get when he's waking up, it's like the old timey video, and it's just like Yuji's dumbass face next to his like completely morphed cursed brother, who's just like eating a pie. And it's just like, this guy is just out of his mind. But I guess my only theory to this is that like, I genuinely, well, I guess it doesn't really explain Toto's, but I feel like Yuji's definitely, they're going to be related. I don't think this is like a gag, a joke thing. I think, I think that either Yuji is like somehow, like if Chozo's mom got impregnated by a curse, like I'm imagining like either vice versa for Yuji, like there was a dad who impregnated a curse or, you know, something along the similar lines. And maybe the curse was the same, you know, the same body. I don't really fucking know, but I do think that there is probably going to be some actual connection between these two, like blood collection.
All right. Connection. It's on the board, officially on the board. The last thing, just to shout out, because I like her character a lot, they're saved by the potentially only other special grade
besides Yuta and Gojo.
Yeah, Yuta and Gojo. So she's the third one. She finally kind of makes her move.
That's correct, dude. Dude,
this is
hot.
Yeah. So yeah, the so Yuki Sumiko. Yeah, Yuki Sumiko is on the scene. I love the look on Pseudo Ghetto's face. Yes, that like evil smile. That was like, you could tell there's like respect there.
Because like I felt like a smile that was like, yeah, that he was like a little surprised and also just
things
are
getting
serious. She's like, what's your type, right? Yeah, what does she say?
What type
of woman? What kind of type of woman you like?
Because it's Toto's thing.
And
like,
that's, you know, that she's his master, right?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
They said it. I forgot about that. Yeah, it comes up in episode 21 when he does the simple domain, and it says that he learned from Yuki Sumiko. So. Right.
Dude, this was phenomenal ending. I mean,
fire, dude. I just think the case is way better than My Hero.
The movie is just the movie is just the it being so relevant is just so great. I just love because this was a character made a quick impression on me in the movie. Just the fact that her and Ghetto, the OG Ghetto, real Ghetto, had like a deep.
That was earlier this season too.
It was earlier this season.
That wasn't. Oh, it was. Flashback. It was the flashback. Yeah, but either way, it's
months ago now, which is nuts.
A while ago.
I honestly want all anime to be like this.
Well, we've got two left. We've got two episodes left. If no one else has a final take, I think we're trying to get out of here. Yeah. So that's going to wrap up our coverage of episodes 21 and 22, Metamorphosis Parts 1 and 2. And we'll be back for one more episode. So we'll be back in 2 weeks to cover episodes 23 and 24. I saw some rumblings on the internet that there was only going to be 23 episodes. Rumbling. No idea where that came from. So I believe there's 24. I'm like 20. I was going to say 29%, which is not high. 99% sure that there's
29%
that there's 24 episodes. So we'll be back in 2 weeks to talk about the conclusion of this season, which we've clearly been loving so much. And hopefully you've been loving the coverage of it. Hopefully you've been sticking around and listening to all the episodes. We really appreciate all the support. This has done, I would say, better than we probably could have imagined. I'm not going to like say how many listens and stuff we're getting, but it's just nice. It's nice to know that the anime coverage is getting the love that we think it deserves, only to say because these shows are so fun and they're so good that it's cool that there's people out there watching them and engaging with extra content.
You all are a bunch of weebs.
Sure.
When you're done, subscribe to our OnlyFans.
Jesus. All right, let's get out of here before we say something crazy. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with the finale. Like I said, we are Bingetown TV. And thank you for listening.
Peace.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.